Standing, please. Brother Reeves, it's good to have you tonight. Would you like to open in prayer for us?
Yes, sir.
I appreciate that. We got some good special singing coming. We'll have another song in a minute. Brother Lamb, would you like to sing a song for us? All right.
Here's a song that was copyrighted in 1936. Right over. The last mile of the way. One day we're going to travel that last mile. Listen, we'll try to do it for you. Walk in the pathway of duty. If I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in His beauty. When I've gone the last mile of the way, when I've gone the last mile. Close of the day, and I know there are joys that awaits me when I've gone the last mile of the way. If the Christ I proclaim the glad story, if I seek for His sheep gone astray, sure, He will show me His glory when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know there are joys that me when I've gone the last mile of the way. And if here I have earnestly striven and have tried all His will to obey, 'twill enhance all the rapture of heaven when I've gone the last mile of the way. close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Come on, sir. We're going to do a duet.
All right.
Got a duet coming up for you now.
Some people I travel, my race, my hair, the call will be coming for me. I'll enter the lifeboat that will be near to carry me over the sea. He'll hold to my hand, as over this river I go. Then safe I will be, a beautiful heaven I know. My mark to sail safely, the waves dash high, for Jesus will be at my side. He'll steer the rough waters when by and by, while crossing the river so wide, he'll hold to my hand as over this river I go. Then safe I will be in beautiful heaven I know. Golden shore to live there while ages shall roam. I want to see Jesus and saints are your in beautiful heaven of soul. He'll hold to my hand as over this river I go. Then safe I shall be in beautiful heaven I know. He'll hold to my hand as over this river I go. Then safe I shall be in beautiful heaven I know.
Amen, preacher.
Well, the fries is full of surprises, ain't it?
It can preach and sing. You reckon the primitives or the inspirations let y'all put that on an album? Sister Teresa, do you reckon you can top that?
Well, I wouldn't back top it, but I would tell you one thing. What's the lights on?
Not on. Yeah, the lights are on.
We can turn them up a little notch.
Has yours got anything?
There you go.
Yeah. Somebody had it turned down.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think I can top that. But as they were singing, I could see my daddy standing up there leading the choir. Yeah. Singing that song, that was one of his favorites. I know he's singing on the other side tonight. Yeah. I've always had a place to sleep, clothes to wear and food to eat. God has been so good to me. Thank you, Lord, for Mom and Dad, the best friends on earth I've had. God has been so good to me. God has been so good to me, and I'm thankful for a fine family. The little church where I attend, and for all my Christian friends, God has been so good to me. God, I live where men are free, where there's love and liberty. God has been so good to me. If all I had He took away, then I still would have to say that God has been so good to me. God has been so good to me, and I'm thankful for a fine family. The little church where I attend, and for all my Christian friends, God has been so good to me. God has been so good to me, and I'm thankful for a fine family. And the little church where I attend, and for all my Christian friends, God has been so good to me. The little church where I attend, and for all my Christian friends, God has been so good to me.
That wraps up in a nutshell right there. God's been so good. We still live in America. Right now, we still have the liberties. A few. All right, Brother Buddy. I guess we can let everybody stand up and get ready for the offering. Sing a song while y'all get to your wallet. What you get?
485.
Give everybody time to get to the wallet.
Number
and get the 485.
Money out. All right, listen
here. Praise the Lord God, all the Son of God. Jesus, who died and is now. Revive us, son.
ushers working tonight, so we're going to have to get a little creative in taking up the offering. What we'll do is we'll get Brother Fry to come on up and be getting ready. I'll let you ask the blessings on the revival and the offering.
Our Father, we truly thank you once again for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you that you have been so good to us. Lord, you're good all the time. And we just thank you. We just praise you. We ask your blessing upon this service tonight. Lord, we pray that you would bless Brother Fry and Norm afresh and anew. And breathe upon him the Holy Spirit that he may preach, oh Lord, to our hearts. Father, we praise you, bless you, offering the giver. Likewise, those that have nothing to give, and we'll thank you and praise you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Certain to thank you for the offering tonight. Thank you for coming to the house of God. I've enjoyed the fellowship and I've enjoyed the congregation singing and then Sister Teresa and then Brother James. And I appreciate him allowing me to sing with him this evening. Thank God I know a man. I'm glad I got someone holding my hand. And I appreciate Brother James, Sister Nancy, we went out to breakfast together this morning, and then we had supper together. They took us out for supper this evening, and we certainly enjoyed the fellowship and enjoyed the meal. So joy to me. It's good to have everyone that's here. I wonder how many preachers do we have. I'm going to have the preachers to stand, if you would please, and give us your name and where you're from. Okay, we got two here. All right. Good to see you, Brother Jeff. All right. Well, good to have you, man. I've been knowing Brother Jim 100 years. No, not quite that long. A long time. What? Probably, I'm going to say, 50 years have I known you? You used to be my insurance man a long time ago. That was a long time ago. Time goes by so swiftly. And then he allows me to come and preach in his church right before Christmas on Sunday in the month of December. And I appreciate that. It's always an honor to go to Welcome Baptist Church. Well, I appreciate my wife being with me again this evening. And she travels with me a lot. Sometimes she don't go. And it's hard for her to stay away from the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren now. And we'd ask you to pray for Kelly. That's one of our great-grandchildren. This is our grandson. He and Amber have a little girl named Kelly. She's 6 years old. And so they're going to put a heart monitor on her tomorrow. She's having a heart problem. I'd ask you to pray for her. Now she's sick with strep throat. She just a few days ago had that. And Kelly is full of life. Just all of a sudden that she's begun to get real sick. So I know God's able to take care of that situation. And so you pray for Kelly, and we'll certainly appreciate that so much. Pray for our ministry. I'm grateful to the Lord for the opportunity that God has given me to share the gospel across this country. I'm so glad he let me pastor 42 years. One church, 8 years. 134, and now 13 years in evangelism. Brother Jim, I'm beginning my 14th year in evangelism. It doesn't seem possible, but time waits for no one. And I appreciate my wife at our age, and we're certainly not ashamed of our age. I'm 82, and she'll be 82 in June. And so I'm not ashamed of it. I thank the Lord, almost 60 years in the ministry. Isn't God good to us? And I praise the Lord for that. All right, if you could and you would, please, would you stand this evening as we look in the Word of God in Matthew chapter number 28. You have your Bibles. And we're going to look at verses number 16 down through verses number 20. That's the Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verses number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. My Heavenly Father, I come before you this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, I want to thank you for Calvary. Thank you, Lord, that Christ was willing to go some 2,000 years ago and die for sinners such as I. Again, I give you thanks for the blood that takes care of all sin. Then again, I thank you for the Bible, the precious Word of God. And Lord, I pray this evening that thou shalt give me holy unction as I preach for you. And then, Father, as the Word of God is preached, I pray the souls will get saved. I pray the saints of God will be helped and encouraged. Now again, would you bless every visitor that's in this audience and every member of this church? And I pray for every preacher, pastor, missionary, and evangelist. Then I pray, dear Lord, that you'd send a pastor here to Faith Baptist Church. Lord, you have a man somewhere, and Lord, I pray that you'll soon send him an under-shepherd. Now again, I pray that you'd give revival to your people and get glory to thyself. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing in reverence to the reading of the Word of God and prayer time. In the scripture this evening, Jesus has been crucified, and also he has been resurrected, and even some have doubted. And so we find in our text verses this evening, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Now get that. And then the Bible said in verses 17, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. Now to many, after Jesus was crucified, they thought they'd never see him again. They had a weak faith, and then they worshiped him. But some doubted that he had been resurrected. We got some that doubts today whether he's alive or not. He's not on the cross, thank God. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's our intercessor and our coming King. And then down in verses number 20 is our text verse this evening. He says, now this is what Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things. This is what he said to his disciples. He said, observe all things. Notice that whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he said, amen. I want to preach this evening on this thought, this present age. Again, let me look at verses number 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, get this now, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, ages past, a present age, and future ages are clearly referred to in the Bible. An age is a period of time that has a definite beginning and a definite end. Christ gave his promise to be with his followers to the end. We are now living in an age or dispensation that had a definite beginning and will have a definite ending. And so this age began with the coming of the Lord Jesus
to this earth to die. And so this age will die with the coming of Christ to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so I want to call your attention to some Bible teachings about this present age. Now, first of all, let me call our attention to the characteristics of this age. Now, the Bible clearly says that this is an evil age. There's no suggestion in the Word of God that this age will become better as it continues. This age will become more evil as it progresses toward the ends. So I wish I could tell you that better days are coming. But according to the Bible, the Word of God, as this age stands, it's going to wax worse and worse and worse. We're already seeing things now that we thought we'd never see in our lifetime. We're already hearing about things that we thought we'd never hear about in our lifetime. And so this age is going to get worse. First, this age is dominated by the devil. Now, you got to remember one thing, that God has all power. Remember this, God has all power. But the next in command of God is the devil. Never take that lightly. I'm not here to exalt the devil nor sin. But the Bible teaches us that he's spoken of as the God of this age. And as long as the devil remains, this age will continue to wax worse. Men will take sides against Christ. That's already happening down through time, not just today. But there are people today who is against God, has been against God. You know why? That Satan himself was kicked out of heaven because he tried to overthrow God. But he'll never do that. God has all power. So we find that men take sides against Christ, and Satan, he hates God and he hates Christ and will do all that he can to defeat the work of God. He's trying to do that. He's been trying this for ages, ladies and gentlemen, trying to defeat the work of God. In many cases, he has won the victory. Now, I mentioned this yesterday. One of my greatest temptations, I don't know about yours, but one of my greatest temptations of the devil is this. He said, why don't you quit? Why don't you sit down? Because no one's listening and nobody's getting saved. That's what the devil said. But remember, he's a liar. There's no truth in the devil. And I'm sure if he's working that trip on me, he's working that trip on you. If he can get God's people to sit down, then he has won a great victory. But we are weary pilgrims, and this world is not our home, and we're to press on, children of God, regardless of the circumstance, we're to press on for God. I'm so thankful that this world is not our home. And we're pilgrims, we're just a passing through. Therefore, this age will be evil as long as the devil remains. But thank God, one day Christ is coming, and the devil will be chained for 1,000 years and will finally be cast into the lake of fire. And then second, we find this age of the Holy Spirit. Now, back in Old Testament days, that the Spirit of God came upon people, even upon animals, and gave them a message, and then departed. They were not indwelled of the Spirit of God. But Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm going to send you another comforter, speaking of he, the Holy Spirit of God. And so on the day of Pentecost, now this is after the crucifixion, after Jesus was sent back into heaven, and every nation under heaven were gathered, and they heard in their own language that day. And you know what? Then the Holy Ghost of God came upon them as a mighty rushing wind. And for the first time, they were indwelt of the Spirit of God. And so when we get saved, we are born of the Spirit of God. We are baptized into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost of God. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. But thank God for he, the Holy Spirit, now. We find the Holy Spirit has always been present on the earth to move men, to operate through them. But now in this age, he's abiding in believers, and Jesus has gave us a promise. Now, the same Spirit that moved upon the waters at the time of creation is the same Spirit that's in our presence. It's the same Spirit that indwells us. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These three are in one. Now, the Bible says in John chapter 14, this is the promise of Christ now in verses 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Not for a little while, but he may abide with you forever. Notice now, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, and neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
I'm glad there's one in me greater than he that's in the world. He leads us. He not only has borne us, but not only has he shielded us, but he leads us day by day. He teaches us day by day. He's the greatest teacher that you and I will ever have, as he, the Holy Ghost of God. He is our teacher. I remember back, let me just give this and I get back to preaching. Back when I was just a young Christian, and I took my Bible. I knew very little about the Bible. I know very little today, but I know more now than I did almost 60 years ago. But I knew very little, but I still practice this. But I remember it as a young Christian. I got my Bible down, hadn't been saved but just a week or two, and I laid it down in front of me. I got down on my face on the floor, and this is what I said. I said, Holy Spirit of God, unless you teach me the word, I'll never know anything about it. Now, you can go to the best schools, be trained in the best professors and the best Christian teachers, but no one will teach you like the Holy Spirit of God does. And I'm glad that this book was written by him. And so I begin to pray that prayer. Lord, teach me with thy spirit. And I still pray that today. And I pray every day to be filled with the Spirit of God. You know why? Because I'm a leaking vessel. I'm a leaking vessel. And I pray every day to be filled with the Spirit of God. And then the Bible tells the Holy Spirit dwells in believers to empower and to energize them. He is there to administer the work in the churches today. He was the one who called out Barnabas and Saul for the work of missions and sent them forth. So the Holy Spirit is here to convict of sin. There's no salvation without conviction of sin. There's got to be a conviction of sin. Now, some people make a profession because the sins have caught up with them. But you don't do that. That's an empty profession. You get saved because God has convicted you with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. The reason that I'm saved tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is to the fact that one day I heard the preaching of the Word of God. No one is saved apart from hearing the preaching of the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And I heard. And then I came on a repentant basis. Why did I come on a repentant basis? Because the Holy Spirit convicted me and showed me I was lost and I needed help and I needed to be saved. And I needed to be saved. And so he convicted me of being a sinner. Now, I mentioned this on yesterday. We were conceived in sin. We was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And so all of us was born as sinners. And the blood of Christ atoned for us until the age of accountability. And then we had to have that face about turned, come to God on a repentant basis. But it was he, the Holy Spirit, that convicted us of being a sinner. There's some people make it complicated to get saved. You got to do this. You got to take so many courses in the Bible to get saved. That's not what the Bible says. First, the Bible said, listen, we got to hear. We got to hear the gospel. We got to hear the preaching of the Word of God. After we hear, it's up to us what we're going to do, because Christ has made a way of our escape through his death, his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And so we come to him. Ask him to forgive us for being a sinner, because you cannot remember all the terrible things you did since you've been born. But remember one thing, God convicts us of being sinners. And then when we repent of being sinners and ask God to save us, believe that Jesus Christ was virgin born, crucified, was buried, and rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. Then God saves you. Then again, the Bible tells us something else as we look here in the Word of God. And so Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God. Now in the book of James chapter 4 and verses number 4, he said, you adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of this world is empty with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I am not a friend of this world, and this world does not love me. And I'm certainly not God's enemy. I'm a child of God by rebirth, by the blood. And I'm not ashamed of that. Amen. We're not to be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on to tell us in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We're not to love the world, nor the things in the world. Now, God's not talking about the ocean. Now, you shouldn't leave your church, go down just to see what it's doing, though. He's not talking about the mountains either. You should never leave your church if the mountains are still there. I assure you they're still there, and the valleys are still there. And he's not talking about the rivers. Anything God made is beautiful. He's talking about the vices of men. Today, you know why they have the ball games on Sunday, the car races on Sunday, and all these things? It's designed by man, not of God. It is a weapon to get people away from God and out of the house of God. And people love those things more than they love God and the house of God. I preached yesterday and gave you some reasons why we go to the house of God. And so these are the things of the world. We're in this world, but we're not of the world. We have been chosen out of the world. Four characteristics here, notice now, of this age is the grace of God. This is age of grace. Grace is unmerited favor of God. Christ commands us to go abroad and tell men of the love of God and his willingness to save all who will come unto him. Your job as a witness and my job as a witness, everybody is not a preacher. Everyone is not a deacon or Sunday school teacher, but all that are saved were witnesses of God. We are God's witness. And God has commanded just not the preacher, just not the teacher, just not the deacon, but God has commanded his people to go and be a witness for him. Today we see less and less of this every day. I have no idea why they feel like some churches that the preacher has to do all the visiting and all the witnessing. But that's not true. He's to do his share. I remind you of that. But God said we're to go abroad. Here at home, overseas if necessary, but we go carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then again the Bible said we need to remember that this age will not last forever. So it had a definite beginning, and it has a definite ending. Therefore, we must hasten with the good news of God's grace. Why? Because it won't be long until it'll be night. We won't be able to work anymore. We better go while we got day to work for the Lord. We better get the gospel message out there. People often say to me along the way, Brother Fry, when are you going to retire? I said, I haven't found that word in the Bible, have you? You retire from your secular job, but never retire from God. We keep on marching on because we're soldiers. And we're God's children, so we march on with a cross and tell this world that Jesus Christ died and shed his blood, gave his life, and sent us to be saved. We must be a witness for God as long as we have time. Then number two, the purpose of this age. Now we find the purpose of this age is the calling out of a people for his name. Listen to the clear message of James to the church council in Jerusalem. We find in Acts chapter 15 and verses 13 through 17, and after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, after this I return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. And all Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all of these things. That was a time that we was not a people, but thank God, God is calling out himself a people now. In John chapter number 1 and verses number 11, where the Bible said Jesus came unto his own. Speaking to the Israelites, they refused to believe that he was and is the Messiah. For 400 years they've been waiting and looking for the Messiah. But now that he's come, they refuse to believe that he is the Messiah. To that Jew that's never been saved, they're still looking for the Messiah to come. At that time, we was not a people. At that time, there was no hope for us. Even the Jews looked upon us as dogs in that day. But we dropped down in verses number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When there was no way, Christ became our way. When there was no hope, he gave us a living hope. When there was no life, he died to give us life, ladies and gentlemen. And now we that are saved, we are a people. Every time a sinner gets saved, God is calling out a people for himself. That's the very purpose here. Again, we find the word of God. There were four points to James's message. First, God is visiting the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Then second, we find the return of the Lord. After this, I return. Then third, the restoration of Israel. I will build again the tabernacle of David. And then fourth, the millennium, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord.
You remember yesterday, church, I said to you, if you know what time it is and when the Lord's going to come, keep your eyes on Jerusalem. It's our time clock of the coming of our Lord. And we're so near of the coming of our Lord today. It can't be long until he comes. When we find the purpose of God is to take out a people for his name and to make them ready for the great things which are to take place. So we find the purpose of God is to convert the world. Oh, let me say, it's not to convert the world. Some say he's come to convert the world. No, it's not the purpose of God, listen, to convert the world. What are you talking about, preacher? This world will not be won to Christ in this age. The purpose of God is not to establish a new world order. Now, Jesus Christ made it possible for everybody to be saved, but everybody will not be saved. Everybody will not be saved. Now, remember this. This will come in the age, as far as I know, the purpose of God for this age is to bring in, listen, it's not to bring in universal peace to the nation. Peace is also promised in the world of God, but it belongs to the time when Christ shall reign upon the earth. Then we're going to have real peace. I don't care who reigns in the White House. I don't care what his name is. He does not have power to bring peace to this world. Listen to me now. I know they say he's the most powerful man in all of the world, but he does not have power to bring peace to the world. He might go in name as the most powerful man in the world, but he can't bring peace to the world. Only God can do that. Now just bear with me of the things I've just mentioned. In this age, listen, of trouble and heartaches and evil. As we travel this age, that's heartaches. All of us are acquainted with heartaches. And then we are acquainted with trouble, you see. Then again, God is offering to a man the highest and the best that he has. He's offering salvation through the blood of his Son. The Holy Spirit, listen, is working to produce conviction and appoint men to their Savior. So here and there are those who hear and heed these things are the called out ones, and they will live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years when peace shall be upon this earth. Yeah. Now the Bible tells us the end of this age. So the word tells us that certain things will happen in the last days of this age. And so Jesus gave a full discourse on this matter in answer to the question of his disciples. They asked this question, and what would be the sign of thy coming and of the end of this world? And he said wars would characterize the entire age and would continue to the end of the age. Now this is what I'm saying. Since the beginning of time and the fall of man, there's been war. Now we cannot feed all these countries in the world. America cannot do that. And we cannot fight everybody in the world. As long, now I'm going to stay with the book tonight because listen, that's what we got to stay with. As long as time goes on, these countries are going to fight. God said that. When God said it, you can count on the word of God. Paul said, listen, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. And so the Bible is true. And the Bible tells us here, and I know Matthew now is a kingdom gospel. In chapter 24 and verses number 6 and 7, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you not be troubled. Now this is what Christ said in his day. Can you imagine how close we are to the coming of Christ today? He said you go hear wars and rumors of wars. It's going to be wars. And we're talking about war. Talking about North Korea, all these little countries all rising up. That's going to continue on, you see. But he goes on to say, for all of these things must come to pass. Get this now. But the end is not yet. Now get this. For nation shall rise against nation. Now, he goes on to say, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pests and earthquakes in divers places. Let me back up now. In November of last year, we seen our nation divided. In November of last year. Can you imagine Mr. Obama got in by what? Electoral votes. He got in. I would not want to try to run a country and rule a country with less than 50% behind me. Our nation is not going to be divided. It's already divided. And has been. This is a sign of the coming of the Lord. Now, one of the next greatest signs of the coming of the Lord is a falling away. Never before have you and I seen a falling away as we sing it today. That's right. Now get this now. Earthquakes and divers places. But they're moving closer to us all the time.
Oh, dear God, help us now. Tornadoes this past few days like you never heard of before. Out in Oklahoma and all these places. Brother James mentioned this today. God is not trying to get the attention of the world. Let me say, God is sending judgment to this world. Not just in parts, but he's sending judgment. But people won't heed the call. These things, according to the Bible, is going to get worse and worse and worse. Now, you and I that are saved will not live 1 second in the great tribulation time. Absolutely not. Just before it starts, we're going to move out of here. Just before the man of sin begins his reign, we're going to be raptured out of here. We are. But I believe this now. As long as we live on this earth, as God is judging this world because of its wickedness, the righteous will be on the same planet. We're going to feel the effect of it. Because of these storms and hurricanes and tornadoes, we're going to lose our homes and our lives too. Because God is sending judgment. He said it rain on the just and the unjust. You cannot sweep this on the rug, but we must preach about it today. We must warn people today. Then again, we find something else, ladies and gentlemen, as I look here in the Word of God. He talks about famines now. I know what a famine is, don't you? There's people tonight who are going to be hungry. Not just in America, but across the world, they're going to be hungry. I've traveled many times to the foreign mission field and traveled in the land of Haiti, one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere. I've seen them stand in line waiting for a bowl of rice and fall dead because of starvation. I've seen that. That's a famine now. If we get hungry, it's because we chose to be hungry. Most of the time, we've got a can of beans in the house somewhere. We've got a piece of bread somewhere. And this is being experienced across the world. But now get this. I believe it could be possible. Right now we're suffering a famine of hearing the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Back in the book of Amos, they run the prophets off and killed them, wasn't it? And then they needed somebody to bring them the Word of God, and there was nobody. They began to suffer a famine hearing the Word. Today, so many preachers have compromised. They no longer preach in the old King James Bible. They no longer take a stand for God. They have no biblical standards today. And people are confused. And so they're suffering a famine of hearing the preaching of the Word of God. We need to get back to old-time preaching and serving God today. We've got to get back to old-time preaching. There's people today, goes to church by the hundreds and by the thousands, and never hear the gospel. Never hear the Word of God preached. Never hear a warning. God said, you cannot sound a warning with a trumpet till you put it to your mouth. You can hold a trumpet in your hand as long as you want to, but until you put it to your lips, there'll be no sound that'll come from it. I'll assure you. God said, I want you to sound the trumpet. I want you to cry out and spare not. And so our nation today, this world, is suffering a famine of here. Then I look at the word pestilence. There could very well be cancer. Did you know that? They're trying to find a cure. They come a long ways with heart disease now. But cancer, they're trying and they're searching for a cure for cancer. And today is something about the word cancer that terrifies all of us. All of us. A couple of years ago, I had a place on my ear. It would not get well. For 3 months, it would not get well. And I went to the doctor and did an biopsy. And he says, it's cancer. On that one little place, that's getting close to the brain, isn't it? It terrified me. I didn't lose any sleep over it. And he did that, cut that thing out. He said, I think I got it all. And he came back and said, I got it all. But it's something about that word. If it don't bother you, you're not human. You're not human. It's something about, I'm saved as good as any man is saved. And I believe with all of my heart, I'm going to heaven. If I die and go to hell, I'm going over the blood. But that's not going to happen. But let me tell you, it's something about this old physical body. You want to keep it alive and healthy as long as you can. That's the way God made us. But something about that word right there passed. Then earthquakes in divers places. Then Christ said that wars would continue. Put this truth of our Lord over against the modern conception of trying to stop war through alliance and combinations of nations. We will listen, war will continue and we'll finally go into the great tribulation period and we'll climax in the battle of Armageddon. That's how long we're going to have war on this earth. That's what the Bible tells us. So this present age faces a complete collapse. And every word of the Lord, Jesus, will be fulfilled one day. I thought the other day, up there, you know, you remember some years ago when the Twin Towers went down. Now that World Trade Center, all the highest building in the Western Hemisphere, they put that skyscraper up there. One day, God said, I'm going to level all of that down. All that's going to be leveled out one day. As sure as you're breathing, God said, that's going to happen. I believe that's going to happen. Then again, let me say, ladies and gentlemen, in the end of this age, they'll be departing from the faith. God help us today. Departing from the faith. In my travels, my wife and I, as we travel up and down the eastern seaboard, I see such a falling away from the faith today. Churches I go in, some of them, every year, there's a change. Not all of them, some as I go back year after year. This younger generation. Last week I'm in a meeting. And on a Thursday night, they had a man to come in to sing. Now, I'm very critical right here. It took the grace of God for me not to get him walk out. The first song he sung, listen, I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I said amen to that song. The rest six songs was contemporary. And music so loud, it hurt my ear. And I'm hard of hearing. It hurt my ears. I said, Lord, should I stand up and rebuke this man? Really, I wanted to. Should I just walk out the door and get in my car and go back to the house? Now, I've been preaching in this church for 20 years or longer. And I left that night, and I got up to preach that night. I can say I enjoyed nothing in that music or that singing that night. I just got up and preached the Word of God. I shook hands, went home, and told my wife, I said, I'm so upset with the preacher. I'm so upset because he allowed somebody in the pulpit like that. Are you folks still with me tonight? I'm an old-fashioned preacher. And I'm too near home to change today. The next night I got to the church, the pastor met me on the porch of the church. He said, what did you think of that singing last night? I said, preacher, I almost left. I said, it's contemporary. If I've ever heard contemporary singing in the music, he's contemporary. He said, I know that. He said, I didn't know he was that kind of a man. He said, I didn't know that till I put it in the pulpit, but he'll never come here again. I believe preachers ought to screen who sang behind the pulpit. Ought to screen who preaches behind the pulpit too. Are you still with me out there? This is taking over our day. And then not only that, I see preachers, a necktie. I might as well just nail and dig this way tonight. A necktie don't make you a preacher. But I believe ought to dress for the occasion. I preach for preachers. Well, no necktie and shirt open. I'll go for that. I don't believe in that. I remember, let me tell you how strict it used to be. When I started preaching almost 60 years ago, we preachers wore black suits, could not wear a colored suit other than black. Had to wear, listen, couldn't wear a red necktie, couldn't wear a colored shirt, had to wear a white shirt, and I started preaching. Almost, if you got in the pulpit without that, you was already backslid. You was abomination. But I was so glad one day I could wear a colored shirt and get out of the black suit. I was so glad to get it. But today, you know what they're doing? They're trying to dress like the world. Look at these newscasters. Usually we'd never go on a television screen without a necktie on. But look how they dress. And you know, preachers are copying that same thing right there today. You said, Brother Fry, is it going to get worse? Just hang on now. I hadn't got to the core of the message yet. You see, it's going to get worse. The Bible says here, now notice in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time, some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the first 5 verses. This know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. That's dangerous times to us. Perilous times will come. For men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. We've been there a long time. I hear young people call their daddy old man, call their mother old woman or old lady. Can you imagine Noah Fry growing up and telling my mother to call her old lady? I'd have got about 10 foot from my mama. Calling my daddy old man, I probably never got up again. I would never been so irreverent to my parents. I honored my parents. I love my parents. And even today, children tell their parents what church they're going to go to. Rather, the parent tells the children what they're going to. Thank God for godly parents today. Did you realize my parents were not saved? until Miss Paula and I got saved, but they had more godly conviction than most average Christians have today. They taught us right. They taught us manners. And to a man, it was yes, sir. To a woman, it was yes, ma'am. There's never no shake your head. Never, never that. And when company come, we could not talk. We had to sit and listen. That's why we learned a whole lot, because we listened. Then I must go on. They said also without natural affection. Oh, my. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. He said, fierce despisers of those are good. Traitors, hate a high mind. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Just was in Minnesota last week. The governor signed into law same-sex marriage. Are you with me this evening, ladies and gentlemen? I keep saying that. I want you to be listening to this old preacher tonight. I never thought in my lifetime that our leader of our nation, great nation, would condone two men getting married, two women getting married. I never thought that. This is unnatural. This is against God. This is sodomy. I don't care what they say. But that's not all. They even allowed to adopt children and raise them in that lifestyle. And this is why they're growing in leaps and bounds in number today. It's because the children don't know it, but that's how they're taught. You better thank God you was raised in a good godly home. You better thank God you got a good godly church with standards and conviction. Oh, this today is falling away from the faith. Then again he said, listen to these words in 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's time already come. They don't want to hear old Noah Fry preach. Some preachers don't want me. Some churches don't want to hear me. Go on now. Endure sound doctrine. But after their own love shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto favor. Most people want no messages. They want a little sermonette. Be tickled on the ear and make them feel good and go home so everything's all right. Before I got saved, I never went to church and left feeling good. Because the preacher preached like he had a swarm of bees up his coattail. He preached hellfire and damnation. And I left that little. And it got me under conviction. Sinners are not to come to church to feel good. Sinners come to church to leave me feeling bad, getting under conviction. Are you still with me? Today, they make sinners feel good. Oh, that's not my job. And then that's many times as a Christian, I can't say I've left every time feeling good being a Christian. Because what? The preaching didn't get on my toes. He got my heart. If you ever hit my toes with a preacher, you're shooting too low. I'm not shooting at your feet tonight. I'm shooting at your heart. I'm not shooting at your head. I'm shooting at your heart tonight. If I can get to the heart, I'll get to the head. I'll get to the feet. But I got to get to the heart with the preaching first of all. Then again. So this day is upon us. The matter of the second coming of our Lord has become an issue. Some are openly scoffing and fighting the doctrine. Others are trying to solve the problem by saying that they believe in the coming of Christ, but not the intimate and premillennial return of Christ. Well, I'm one of those that believes in soon return. Amen. Just any moment now, he's going to come. I don't care whether they preach this doctrine or not. I don't care whether they preach it or not. God is coming one day. And there's no such thing taught in the Scripture as the general resurrection. A man or woman that's saved when they leave absent from the body, present with the Lord, said Paul, soul and spirit, when he leaves his body, goes on in the presence of the Lord. And a man or woman that dies outside of Christ, listen, that soul and spirit leaves that body, it goes immediately to hell. They don't go lay in the graveyard and rest till that resurrection day. No. If Jesus comes tonight, thank God he's going to bring his saints with him. And you know where he's going to put that soul and spirit? He's going and re-enter that body and come forth a glorified body. It's called the resurrection. And we that are living, it could be tonight at this time, we're going to be changed in a moment. We're going to pull off mortal, put on immortality. Then down the road, 1,007 years, there's going to be another resurrection. That's going to be the unjust when they stand at the great white throne judgment. I must go on. Then again, finally, I find another sign of the end of the age is given to us in James chapter 5 in the first 8 verses. Go now, you rich men, and weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten, he said. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat up your flesh as it were fire.
ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth I, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanting. You have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just. He doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, your husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. We're just like the farmer who plows up the fallow ground, plants a seed in the earth. That's all he can do. He waits for the early and the latter rain. Last week I said to my wife, I've been home for several weeks driving to and from the meetings, and I've almost worked myself to death. I said, I'd be glad I get to faith. I'd get on vacation. That's what I said to her. Last week, I dug up 2 flower beds for her. She has a bad back. She can't. She loves flowers. She you don't have to do that this year. But I went down. You know what a matic is? I found a switch on the thing. I turned it on for about 3 hours. And then I found a switch, and I turned it off. But I dug up 2 flower beds with a mattock. And then I raked it down smooth. Then I laid it off in rows. And I put those seed, flower seed, in the earth. Then covered it up. Then I got me a water hose and I watered it down. And I said to my wife, that's all I can do now. I plowed the fallow ground. I put the seed in there and I gave its first water. It's now up to the Lord to give the increase. Now we wait now patiently for the seed to die and to rot and come forth a new life through the earth. I'm expecting any day now when I go home, I'm going to see that seed has died out. That's a new plant coming through. That's a resurrection. But I got to be patient, wait for that. So God tells us as a farmer, when he has put the seed in the ground, he should be patient and waiting. So God wants you and I. He said, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So here's a picture of the conflict between capital and labor. We know that such conflict has been going on and continues to become more intense. So I have no comment to make, save this is one of the signs of the end of this age. With 7 billion people on planet Earth, there's never enough jobs now to go around. As long as this age stands, there's going to be people standing in the unemployment line, because there's not enough jobs for the people today. Are you still with me? This is another fulfillment of the scripture. Then again, let me say, I have no comments here. I just leave that in the hands of the Lord. So we've talked about various serious matters, and we preached about various serious matters this evening. And that should cause all of us to think seriously that we have been seeing God's picture of the day come alive right before our very eyes. So it's not a beautiful, but it all points to that glorious event, the coming of Jesus and our removal to be with him. As the world rushes on in its evil courses, we're looking for that return of Christ. We're waiting for the fulfillment of prophecy regarding his coming and the golden age. We're waiting for that. That's what we're waiting for. The Bible has good news for every lost person. It's the news of salvation through Jesus Christ. So hasten to receive Christ as your Savior, that you might be ready for his coming and for the new age which he will begin. So we find here a beautiful picture of how it should be when Jesus comes is given in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 40. And the Bible said, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Now this verse does not refer to the second coming, but it certainly should be a picture of our attitude, that we should be waiting for his coming with anticipation, waiting for him. Are you really looking for the coming of the Lord in your heart tonight? What if he come this moment? Are you ready to meet him? That's my message. Would you stand all over the church, please, this evening, as we stand with every head bowed, every eye closed, as Brother Buddy and Sister Teresa comes with our invitation song. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the moments that we've had together in the song time and the music time and the offering time. But again, we thank you now for the time that we've had in preaching time.
And again, we thank you for the time to extend an invitation for those to come to this altar tonight, lost to save. I'm glad, Lord, the invitation is given tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. What are we singing, Brother Buddy?
Number 249, Just As I Am.
On page 249 on the first stanza. Just as you are this evening, how close are you living to the coming of the Lord tonight? If the Lord should come tonight, or death should visit you, are you ready to meet the Lord tonight? Is there anything in your life that you feel like you need to get straightened out? As you play softly, in just a moment we'll have another verse. Let me say a word to the church this evening. I'm here to help you at Faith Baptist Church. As you're in search for a pastor and under shepherd, let me say to the members of this church, you should be on the altar tonight seeking God's will for a leader tonight. I don't mean that ugly, but I mean that from the depth of my heart. Church, if there's ever time to pray, it's now. You were so blessed of the years to have Brother Ben Poovey as your pastor. He was blessed of all of those years. He's now rejoicing in the presence of God from his labor. You was privileged to have a little over 3 years, Brother Van Moore. And now you're in search of another pastor. I'm praying God to give you one. All with the facilities that you have here and the location that you have, there's no reason why this church cannot take on new life and grow for God. One other verse, Brother Buddy, that I'm going to be through tonight. Just as you are. That's right, dear folk. Just as you are. That's right, yeah. So much to pray about tonight. So much to ask God for tonight. So much. She plays softly, no more singing. Okay? No more singing. Jesus, thank you for coming tonight. If you can, would you come back tomorrow night and help us in this meeting? And I certainly would be appreciative of that. Father Will.
Too. I appreciate every visitor that's come, and I've enjoyed it. I enjoyed the message tonight. He hit it right on the head tonight. Yeah, America is going in the wrong direction. A lot of things. We're supposed to wait for this one, tolerate this one, but there's no toleration for Christians. If you've enjoyed tonight, I hope you will come back tomorrow night. We're supposed to have some surprise singers. I believe Brother Walter Yancey is going to bring a good crew down and bring some singers. So I hope you don't want to miss that. So be ready, be prepared. Have a good day tomorrow, and don't forget to pray. And I meant to do it tonight, and I let time get away, but the men, make some time. You know, we need to pray before service time tomorrow, so don't let me forget that. Hope you have a good evening. Have a good day at work tomorrow. Look forward to seeing every face tomorrow.